today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You know, Jim, I was thinking that we really should have done 12 songs for our countdown.
Why is that?
Well, you know, for the 12 days of Christmas.
12 days? I only ever got one day of Christmas. Someone out there owes me a whole lot of presents.
Classic.
So, Patrick, how's your Christmas shopping doing?
I'm getting started on Monday. I'd like to always wait to the last few days to really get the spirit of Christmas together and just find the right gift for that special person. Also, I need to go around and collect from my paper route, you know, so I can get money to buy Christmas presents.
Very good.
I don't know what that means.
Very good. Do you tend to buy people records? Is that...
I never do that. No, I don't do that. I tend to buy people books or T-shirts. And occasionally I'll buy a specific gift. You know, if somebody wants a... For example, last night at Wingtip Float Practice, we were talking about, could you buy a machine that made flexi discs? And so sometimes if someone wants something really specific, I'll buy that for them. And this is... probably a good time to announce our beginning of our FlexiDisc label on suburbspod.com. We're just going to put out FlexiDisc.
Speaking of which, by the way, this show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And speaking of good time to announce things, we should let people know that now is the time to get your recordings in for your favorite albums or song. Favorite album, singular, or song, singular, of 2021.
Or both.
Or both of those two things. And we'll play those recordings and feature those listeners in January. Mm-hmm. And you can call, leave a message,
612-440-1984.
Yep. Or you can send a voice memo to rock@suburbspod.com. So do that. All right. Now, this is the holiday countdown. The 2 days. We're now into the top five. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. We have listeners assembled here to comment on the countdown. Let's go now to number five. There we go. Christmas in Hollis, number five on our countdown by Run DMC, 1987. And I first heard that, I think many people did, on an album called A Very Special Christmas, which was a compilation album for Special Olympics that year.
Yep.
And as someone already pointed out here in the chat, I believe it's Mackenzie Crenshaw, that samples Clarence Carter's Backdoor Santa, which is something I learned later after hearing this song. So it's a good example of how sometimes through rap music, you can discover older music through the samples. Mm-hmm. And I find it, of course, like extremely cool that they didn't just sample, you know, any song. They sampled another Christmas song, right?
Right, right. And a song that's featured in the movie Jingle Bell Rocks.
Jingle Bell Rocks.
We just talked to Mitchell, yeah, the director, filmmaker, and genius behind that. It's great. They talked to Clarence Carter there. You know, they tell the whole story of Backdoor Santa. And yeah, it's got that same groove, right, Jim? It's got that blues, R&B, swamp, New Orleans kind of groove that was so integral to every part of every fiber of music in our entire country. So, you know, from the beginning to the end. So it's super fitting that it was translated to Queens with Run DMC, one of the greatest rap groups of all time. So, yeah, it's pretty much a perfect song. I mean, I don't know how you can get any better. And Macaroni and Cheese on Christmas, that's really good.
Well, it's supposedly, according to Daryl McDaniels, like, he was just reciting what really happened in his house.
You know, exactly.
That's all based on real life, right?
Yeah,
and his mother's
absolutely
cooking. And, you know, also, apparently they didn't want to do a Christmas song. They thought it would be hokey, or they thought it would, you know, come off as too much like sort of novelty, which at that time of, you know, rap music in the mid-80s, they were all concerned about that they'd be viewed as just novelty acts and not serious artists. And so they didn't necessarily want to do it. And then also you had Curtis Blow, who already did a famous, you know, Christmas rap song. So again, it's like, are we copying him?
Right.
But when they heard Backdoor Santa, they were like, oh yeah, we can work with this.
We got to do it.
Boy, did they ever, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, totally amazing. Got a lot of votes from all across the spectrum. So very popular choice.
Any comments from the crowd here? No, we should move on. All right.
Okay.
Mackenzie, anything?
I just think it's funny that like the Clarence Carter song Backdoor Santa is not, I mean, it's kind of about Christmas, but it's like also just like cheating on your spouse. I mean,
yeah.
And there have been a range of
Christmas means different things to different people.
Yeah. And I just on that point, which is a brilliant point by Mackenzie, there have been a range of songs that have played upon the fact that, you know, hey, everyone's going to get busy at the office, you know, party this tonight and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a tradition that you find in many, many movies and many, many songs and many books. So great point.
All right. I guess we'll move on to number four. Oh, Justin Steiner, please speak.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you mentioned this was from A Very Special Christmas, which I just wanted to, you know, say was such a huge record for, like, you know, in my high school, definitely, and kind of at the time period it came out, like, that was the ubiquitous Christmas album that everybody kind of listened to, and you really knew those songs inside and out, right? So, anyway, I mean, like...
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, also on this, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Pretenders, Springsteen, Bob Seger, Stevie Nicks. Some good people on that record. All right. Craig Rosen has a comment.
Yeah, yeah. There was a series of those records. I don't know how deep they went, how many there were, but they were quite good. I know I have one that with a green cover, and I think there's one with a gold cover as well, but they were all really good. They had a good selection of songs and a good selection of artists. I think there's a Tom Petty track and U2 and a lot of good stuff on those. Definitely worth seeking those out, Patrick.
I definitely will put those on my list. Yeah.
Okay. Number four.
Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming. Checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Okay, of course, that is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, recorded 1975 at C.W. Post College in Brookville, New York.
Yep.
And I've heard that forever. It's like always been Christmas time on the radio when you hear Bruce Springsteen. I actually, as huge of a star as Springsteen is, I actually think this helped him sustain his stardom, because even on his points where he wasn't doing stuff or maybe was doing some things that, you know, he had those wilderness years in the 90s or whatever, where he wasn't doing stuff that was so commercially popular, you still hear this every year, right? And yeah. Still be like, oh yeah, The Boss, he puts on a great show, I need to go see him, right? So
yeah,
there's such a spirit in this recording of live performance, which I think is part, it was probably the main reason why people voted so highly.
Yeah, well said, Jim. Totally agree. And I would like to read a comment right now that Marios Critotis from Pittsburgh sent us on his ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says, Jim, is Gary Talent's most underrated bass line sneaks into a reworking of an old Christmas jingle that has been immortalized, like so many things, by The Boss. I love the banter at the beginning of this, and nowadays, when the big man screaming saxophone barrels in, I can't help but tear up. Rest in power, Clarence Clemons. This is the definitive version of this song. Now it's theirs. So I thought that was really well said by Marios.
Jason Goble has a comment.
I mean, look, I think this is fun. This is just a fun song, and I mean, I can only imagine, because it sounded from... when you listen to the recording, it was probably one of the first times they had done it, or, you know, when they put this on record, is the crowd didn't seem like they were expecting it. I have in the back of my mind when Bruce performed on Saturday Night Live like 5 years ago, I think in connection with the River Outtakes release, they ended the show with Springsteen playing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and like the cast kind of in the background, and you know, the whole cast just kind of losing their minds like little children, like in the background while Springsteen was playing this. I also think it's one of Clarence's finest moments. I know Justin chimed in similarly. It's, you know, the sax work on this is great. The part, you know, when it gets to that, I don't think I voted this number one, but I think after I submitted my list, I'm like, yeah, this should have been my number one at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's really hard not to love it. There's such joy in this record. This is not like where we started the countdown with the sad Christmas songs.
Not at all.
This is a joyful Christmas song, right? And and you're right. And Clarence singing the, you know, better be good for goodness. It's just, it's so great. And I'm with you, Jason. Like, I can almost, I don't know if this is true or I'm just making this up. This is just the legend in my mind. But I think that just like he surprised the audience the first time he did this and just played it. And people were probably like, what is going on? And then like, this is incredible. You know, followed in their minds just a few moments later. And it totally, I mean, it's like, is there a more E Street Band treatment to a cover song than this? It just encapsulates like the Springsteen live experience, as I said before. So anyway, there's that. The other thing too, I'll say real quickly, is we didn't play the clip here. The introduction is a big part of this song too. And every time you hear it on the radio, it always starts with that, right? You get it's like we all have it like memory burned, right? You know, get the new saxophone and all that stuff, right? It's just perfect. Everything is, it again goes to the live Springsteen experience that he would also have to set up the song with something that's really, you know, like fun and witty, right?
Yeah, totally. And you know, we all know he loved those Atlantic and Stax 45s right back in the day. So he's recreating that experience too. And yeah, it's I mean, the early betting opened on the market this holiday. When we announced the holiday poll, Jim, I think it was MGM Sportsbook and also FanDuel put up early lines, right? And it was Springsteen's Santa Claus Coming to Town was the favorite to take number one spot.
Well,
because you can bet on anything these days, and it was up there, but it did not. So
no, I was surprised.
Very interesting. Yeah,
I'm okay with it, but I was surprised because just based on my what do you call it, like straw polling.
Yeah, straw poll.
Among me and my nerd friends, I really thought this was going to become number one, but it didn't work out that way. Mackenzie
Crenshaw.
Are you
one of those straw polling assholes?
Yeah. Mackenzie Crenshaw has her hand raised.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, speaking to both of, I mean, but what everybody said is like, I mean, I remember hearing this being on the radio. Like, I mean, and I'm significantly, not to be this person, significantly younger than most of you. But like, I mean, this was.
You stop that right now.
But I definitely remember hearing it. And I think it was one of my favorites when I was a young kid. I'm also having like a Bruce Springsteen moment at the moment. I don't know why. I've just started listening to a bunch of Bruce Springsteen albums, but that's how it is. I mean, it's not, there are worse things, but that's how that rolls. But I think also too, like, and it maybe is just like, you know, I'm from Ohio. So like, you know, in the Rust Belt, like, Bruce Springsteen's a big deal. So he maybe was played a little bit more on the radio, but I definitely remember hearing it. And I don't even think it was on my list, but like in retrospect, I don't know how I didn't put it on.
Mackenzie, just on that point of Springsteen, have you listened to Nebraska?
Yes. Me and my friends have an album club, and that was the pick last week.
really?
I love Nebraska. Yeah, yeah. That's probably my favorite.
What does the album club do?
So me and my friends, we started this at the beginning of the pandemic when we couldn't physically see each other. We would just like, everybody would choose an album they wanted to listen to for the week. We'd listen to it and then we'd get together on Zoom and just like talk about it. So we've been going now for almost over a year and we're at over 300 albums. So,
can I come in?
Wow.
If you guys want to choose our albums for the week, one week, that
no.
could be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. If you'd let us choose an album and come on just for one week, that'd
yeah.
be fun.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They'd probably be all for it.
All right. Okay. Let's do
I got
it.
One already picked out.
All and right. by all right. for it,
so do I.
I'm going to log off.
Yeah.
After 5 minutes.
Of course.
Wagner is slaying me tonight.
Is Patrick still talking? Okay. Stephen Routledge.
Yeah, I just Nicholas and I were just messaging a bit at the start, and we were wondering that how many of the songs in this top 10 we would actually know, because whilst I'm aware of this song, and yeah, I agree that it's an excellent performance, and it's like if you imagine in your head what the E Street Band doing a Christmas song would sound like, it's exactly what it would sound like, but this never gets played. I've never heard this
wow.
get played.
Wow!
You know, in so as a Christmas song,
wow.
It's just it. You know, I mean, plenty of people who are Springsteen fans will be aware of it. Hence, you know, it would have got a high rating, you know, amongst this audience. But I would go for the Jackson 5 version probably first.
Wow!
As being the one that I would heard, you know, because
yep,
yeah, that would. It was just Springsteen version is not on the Christmas compilations that would get played. So I don't know whether Nicholas has got a similar experience with that in Sweden, you know.
Nicholas?
I actually have this one on my list. It gets played over here.
Interesting.
I think it's a great Christmas song.
So it's funny. So you mentioned the Jackson 5 version, which is similar to this. The Crystals version also similar and makes sense in terms of just the phrasing in the chorus there. But here's the thing I want to say about the Springsteen version. I find that people who are not even really Springsteen fans still like this song because I think there's just such like energy and spirit in it. And my wife, who is a capital N, capital O, capital T, a Springsteen fan, she likes this. So there's something that, again, it speaks to the spirit of Christmas music that you can like artists that, who do Christmas songs even if you don't necessarily like their normal body of work, right?
Totally. Yeah, great point.
Okay, we're gonna do one more today. All right.
Yes, we are.
Number three, and then tomorrow we'll have numbers 2 and 1, and we'll also have an open forum for people to talk about songs that did not make the top 10.
I'm trembling with excitement.
All right. So this is number 3. Number 3, Darlene Love, Christmas, parentheses, Baby Please Come Home, from 1963. I think this is the oldest recording on our list, not the oldest song, but the oldest recording on our list.
Yep.
By the way, I want to mention that on this top 10, there are many, many original songs, like not versions of older songs. There's only a couple of those, so that's interesting too. But anyway, 1963 from Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift to You. Probably the most classic of Christmas albums. And, of course, I think this song has risen in stature over the years due to its annual appearance on David Letterman's Late Night Show in the United States. Every year you had the Jay Thomas Lone Ranger story. You had them trying to knock the meatball off the top of the Christmas tree. And then you have Darlene Love come in and just blow the roof off the place, right?
Well, yeah, Jim, it's so true. And I'll read a comment here by Paul Trapp, who I wish was with us tonight, a longtime fan of the show.
Did something happen to Paul?
Good friend. No, he's fine.
Oh, okay, okay. He's okay.
He's just in Utah. Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, and he can't
get out. Well, that happened to him.
Yeah. And so he said, the all-time holiday favorites list is Christmas Baby, Please Come Home by Darlene Love. That's it. That's the list. Took the train into NYC to see Love performing on David Letterman's annual holiday show. One of my all-time greatest concert moments. So that's from Paul.
Very nice. Anyone have any comments on Darlene Love, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home? Or there was also a pretty famous cover of this song that was on this this album that we mentioned earlier, A Very Special Christmas.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's start here with Craig Rosen. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I think that was my number one. Just an amazing song, amazing recording and production. And I think Stephen wrote in the chat that possibly the greatest Christmas album ever. It's the Phil Spector A Christmas Gift for You. I think that's the correct title.
That's correct.
Yeah, not possibly. It definitely is the greatest Christmas album of all time. I mean, it's just when you think back at Christmas albums, or you know, you think of them, you want to get put on a record that you can listen to all the way through without any clunkers, without anything you have to skip. And this is totally one of those records. You know, every performance is just amazing, and just the, you know, I know Phil Spector is known for something else, unfortunately, but you know, this may have been his greatest achievement.
Okay, Mackenzie.
Yeah. So this is like my by far probably my favorite Christmas song or holiday song, because it is more like a pop song. Like it isn't. I mean, it is about Christmas, but it definitely can kind of stand on its own. I think the Wall of Sound is like perfect for Christmas music because you can have all of the different instrumentation. Also, I'm pretty sure Cher is on backing vocals along with the Blossoms, which is like another group that Phil Spector worked with. And then I was like, I'm not sure. And then I checked Wikipedia. And in fact, she is on the backing vocals. So a very young Cher is, which is kind of fun too, a fun fact.
No, that's wonderful. Well, wasn't Sonny like one of the songwriters back in the day for...
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Sonny Bono worked with Phil Spector before him and Cher teamed up.
He wrote Needles and Pins. I know that, but that's another story. Okay, Mike Wagner.
I just wanted to say that the Darlene Love, there's a nice story. Is it if I think most people might have seen the documentary 20 Feet from Stardom, and there's a nice segment on there about this on there. So it's fantastic. It is one of the best Christmas songs. I love it so much. I'm with everybody else. It's one of the best. I'm pretty sure I voted for it.
What do you think makes it so great though, Mike? What is it?
First off, Darlene Love's vocals. Yeah. Like that's like, I mean, and when you watch her singing like on the Letterman, she's just like the joy that just exudes from her. It's just like, you can't stop it. The other thing is the backing vocals, right? The backing vocals always are like a lot of times fairy dust on any song, particularly Christmas songs. And I just think it's fantastic.
I want to ask Patrick here because he tabulated the votes. Didn't this song get a lot of votes overall, but across different versions, right?
Yes, Jim. It's a key point. Going back to that quote I read at the beginning of the week that was still attributed to Anonymous, there are versions, right? So as alluded to, you too had a version of this that got, many votes, right? It came within pretty close to getting in the top 10, and other people have done this song as well. So, but I think you too, right, is kind of a key version for our people.
I think it's a great version. I think it's actually, for a song that is so well done as an original, in the original recording, they come like really close as a cover version to making it a classic again.
Yeah, they get their passion into the song, and you can really feel that. Yeah.
I just remember when you said the U2, on the episode EPJ and I did about U2 during the Joshua Tree, we forgot this song, and we were talking about it afterwards. We're like, how do we forget this song? Because it was on Very Special Christmas, which was done during the Joshua Tree. Like, I think the video is there. They do a lip syncing version of it. I suspect what they probably did is they went in some studio and just knocked it out in one day. But it's also a fantastic version. But the song is so great,
it's amazing.
Oh, one last thing, I put it in the chat. Shout out to Justice Fuller. For those who attended the Hootenanny, did the most amazing version of this song last year at the Hootenanny. Oh my God. I was just like, I remember going in and telling my wife, I was like, oh my God, Justice just did a version of this song. And it was amazing. It was so good. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, it's funny. Kevin Clement here in the chat said he almost went with the U2 version in his vote, but then stuck with Darlene Love. Where's Kevin? There he is. I heard the U2 version of this song first. I heard it from this Very Special Christmas album and was not yet at that point in my life familiar with the Phil Spector Christmas album. And this was sort of a gateway to that, right? So I heard this U2 song and it was like, that's amazing. It's incredible. And I do think they do a really good job on this song. But then I'm with Kevin here. Like, once you hear the original, you're like, Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. So, okay, tomorrow, Patrick.
Yes.
The top two.
Oh, I'm excited, Jim. And I don't even know what they are, which makes me even more excited.
All right. So tomorrow we'll do the top two, and then we'll also have listener comments on songs that did not make the
Yes,
top 10,
that's going to be right? fun. Yep. Nick yes. Scalera is going to rant for 20 minutes. I can't wait.
Is Bud Verge still on? Bud Verge is gone, right? Bud Verge left?
I think we lost him, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad because I was really waiting to hear from him. Okay. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
Yeah, but I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow. You know, it's like Christmas Eve. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I really won't. Yeah.
Me neither. You know, I'm going to stay up and eat jelly beans. Wait, that's Easter.
Okay.